Jane Powell's effervescent personality and rich voice graced classic films like Royal Wedding and Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. She'll be making a live appearance tonight at a rare screening of 2 Weeks with Love. It kicks off a special exhibit of movie posters called Style in Motion that's being sponsored by Turner Classic Movies and the Film Society of Lincoln Center. And Jane will be joining TCM host Robert Osborne on stage tonight at 6:30. I'm delighted that both of them could join us today.
Nice to be
we
here.
We are,
thank
too.
You.
What made you choose 2 Weeks with Love, Jane? Is that a particular favorite of yours?
It is. It is my favorite. I can't say one of my favorites. I think it's because people haven't seen it. It's just a little picture, but it's very entertaining.
Takes place in the Catskills?
Yes.
Theoretically.
And it was a period thing. It was a period piece. And, of course, Ricardo Montalban was in it.
And Debbie Reynolds at
18. Debbie Reynolds and Carlton Carpenter and... Louis Calhoun, and it was just a wonderful cast.
Now, it's supposed to take place in the Catskills, I am assuming.
Yes.
It was shot in Hollywood.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was shot on... We never went on location.
Now, Robert Roy Rowland, who directed, is not one of the best-remembered directors. What are some of his other films?
Well, he did a lot. He did a lot of westerns at MGM. He's kind of one of the workhorse directors at MGM, but he did a beautiful... job on this movie, I think. I think it's kind of a great surprise.
It had a
Meet Me in St. Louis kind of movie, and it's very charming, and Jane's wonderful. And I think one reason you particularly liked it, too, is it was kind of your first grown-up role, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah,
this is
before Royal Wedding and Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Right,
yes. And it was a period piece. I love period costumes, and it was just a charming story, and I liked everybody in it. And though I've been very blessed that I've never really had any problem with anyone, I've always enjoyed who I've worked with.
Well, in this case, you also worked with the legendary Busby Berkeley, didn't you?
Oh, yes, of course. A couple times. I worked with him a couple times, yes.
So was that – he didn't have you participate in being flowers from overhead shots and things
like
that?
Wasn't that kind of a movie?
No. No, it's and in Canada, they called it Papa Buys a Corset.
Uh-huh. Which is – kind of what it's about, right?
That's about what it's about,
yeah.
Yes.
So why do you think it's been largely forgotten?
Well, it was one of those, it doesn't really have a, it didn't have a standout music score, basically. There's Abba Dabba Honeymoon, kind of a novelty song.
And the Oceanic Blues was in it.
Abba Dabba Honeymoon is the most memorable song.
Right. No. But, not too many of those MGM musicals, except for the... like Singing in the Rain, and some of those have really lasted through the years.
Do you have a favorite film of Jane's?
Well, I love Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. I think it's a wonderful movie. I think she's great in it. She's really the hub of the movie, and you don't really realize that until you really watch the movie, how she holds it together. It's got a great music score by Johnny Mercer and somebody.
Great score.
and the dancing by Michael Kidd. Choreographer was wonderful, and it's just a pure joy. And I think that, one of the things that's interesting about a career is that Jane made all these movies through the 1940s at MGM that were so popular, A Date with Judy and Nancy Goes to Rio and all that, the big stuff at the time. But it's very rare that you get a movie in one's career like Seven Brides for Seven Brothers that becomes a true classic. And I think Jane's one of the lucky ones to have a movie like that in your career.
I definitely am.
Yeah.
Well, you were a triple threat, actress, singer, dancer. What were you doing first?
I started when I was 2. I started dancing in Portland, Oregon.
And did you think that you'd become a professional dancer?
Oh,
or was it just
no.
something that a kid likes to do?
Well, no, it's something that my parents wanted me to do, but I did enjoy it. And it was during the war. And as a matter of fact, the story with Robert and myself, I was the Oregon Victory Girl. And I would sell bonds, and I would sing and dance, and to try and sell bonds. And on Saturday, Robert would come to the square and watch me sing. And I never knew him.
I lived in a little nearby town, when I was like 8 or 9, and she was already a local celebrity.
I'm
on
older
a radio
than he
show,
is.
Barely. But so I used to go watch her sing down the Victory Square.
So you were a local celebrity? Is that what
yes,
brought you
was.
To Hollywood?
Yes, I went to Hollywood.
How old were you?
14 when I went to Hollywood. But Robert and I didn't know each other in Hollywood at all. But we met each other on the street down
street
Broadway.
In New York, yes.
And we met, and we've been bosom buddies ever since.
Yeah, great pals.
Had you acted before you went to California?
No. In fact, my first movie was Song of the Open Road, And that was my screen test. I had never even had a screen test. I think, you know, basically, I think they were looking for another Deanna Durbin. Mm-hmm. Because Deanna had gone to Europe, and she didn't want to have anything to do with movies anymore.
So it was Deanna Durbin, then you, and then there was Catherine Grayson. Competing for roles?
Catherine Grayson was a little ahead of you.
Was she a little ahead?
Yeah, but she was more grown up.
Yeah.
She was already a young woman.
Yeah, I was the girl next door.
When Deanna Durbin started, like Jane, they were kind of teenage girls.
Yeah.
But, who could sing.
Yeah, and another thing about Jane, kind of like Deanna Durbin, though, she started out as a star. I mean, she was starred in her first movie, actually got her name from her first movie. She started making the movie as Susanna Burse, it's her real name, and she played a character named Jane Powell in the first movie she made. So they called her, that was her name.
They called me on the phone and said, is Jane Powell there? And I said, no, you have the wrong number. He says, no, that's your name.
They gave you the name.
That's it.
Yeah. Have you been upset? Have you regretted that ever?
Well, I never liked the name, Jane. I thought they probably would change my name because my name was Susanne Burse. Burse, you cannot pronounce.
But you could have been Susan Powell.
Well, that's very true.
Or Susan Hayworth, for that matter.
The thing that confuses me is the fact that
there were so many Powells.
They were very territorial about
Powell.
Names. They had
Dick Powell, Eleanor Powell,
William Powell. You know, so there are already a lot of Powells around, and they didn't do that at studios very often. If there was one Lana or one Turner, nobody else was named Lana or Turner.
That's right.
So if I were passing you on the street and I said Suzanne, would you turn around? Or at this point, would it have to be Jane?
It depends on if you look like you're from out of town, I would turn around.
If I look like I'm from Portland.
Yes, if you look, but I'll tell you, people in Portland are beautifully, really, they're beautiful people and beautifully dressed. They are up on all the stages, but the girls, my God, they have complexions that are just gorgeous. They're beautiful ladies.
Now, you grew up, in effect, in the studio. You spent your teen years there. This was at the time of the studio system.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have nostalgia for the system?
Oh, I think it was the best thing that ever happened to any performer, also to a director or a producer, because you had protection. You knew where you were going to go, and you knew where you were going to be, and they groomed you. I went to school in the lot of Little Red Schoolhouse.
Was that a good education? Was it as good as most high schools?
Well, we only went to school for 3 hours a day. But again, it was all supervised by the Board of Education, and we had to graduate, and we didn't have any. We only had reading, writing, and arithmetic. That was basically it. There was no playing around at all.
What about acting lessons?
I took very few acting lessons because the teacher I would go to, who was Lillian Burns, who I liked very much, was always late, and I always had other things I had to do.
But you're also kind of a natural. I mean, I don't think they wanted to fool around. If she was comfortable on camera from the very beginning, or at least you appeared to be. And I think when it's working and audiences are responding to you and people are going to see a movie because she was in it, you know, why would they fool around with that?
Well, did you have to learn on the job? I remember talking to Debbie Reynolds about doing Singing in the Rain, and she had all these problems because she had never danced and lip-synced all at the same time, and she was doing it with two incredible dancers. She felt totally intimidated. And there you are, dancing with Fred Astaire.
Well, she was at Warner Brothers, and she did musicals over there. And maybe it's because she was with Fred Astaire.
Well, Gene Kelly in that case.
And Gene Kelly, yes. They can be intimidating, but they are so nice that they – I never had any problem as far as working with Fred at all.
Did he help you? Did he give you advice?
Well, no. He was a very quiet, a very private man, and nobody really knew Fred. From what I understand, and I liked him, and I guess he liked me, and he never made any comment. He didn't criticize at all. I wish he had him a little more.
My guests are Jane Powell, singer, dancer, actress, Robert Osborne, the TCM host. They'll be introducing a special screening of 2 Weeks with Love tonight at 6:30 to mark the official opening of Style and Motion, the Art of the Movie poster. Now, we still have movie posters, but they're not the same, are they?
No, they aren't. No, they aren't.
It's just like the studio. Did it change with the studio system, or did it change for some other reason? The fact that movie theaters don't put them up the way they used to?
Well, I think part of it had to do with the way we see movies, going to multiplexes and all of that, because the posters used to be designed so that when you're driving down the street in your car looking for a movie because everyone went to the movies all the time. They cost like 35 cents to go to, and everybody, there was no television at home. To get out of the house, you know, away from the piano or playing cards, you'd go to the movies two or three times a week because they were inexpensive. And you drive down the street to look at what's playing at the theater, and you'd say, oh, there's a happy face of James Cagney, and he's laughing, and you see his name and the title, so it's a comedy with Jimmy Cagney. Or if you drive down the street and there's a picture of Bogart looking mean with a gun, you say, oh, it's a Bogart film. And so they were designed that way. Now they're so artistic that you can't even sometimes see the names of the actors in the movie.
And do you remember posing for those posters, Jane?
No, you didn't. They would take them just kind of out of the air, and they would make whatever they would make a montage of whatever they had.
Now you were, as I said, you were growing up in the studio. You were very busy. Were you able to develop friendships with?
No.
What did you have to audition for the big powerful moguls like Louis B. Mayer and David Selznick?
Well, I did the first time. I had gone to California for a radio show, as a matter of fact, because I had two radio shows in Portland, Oregon. And my parents were going to California, and the station said, why don't you audition for Stars Over Hollywood, which was the Janet Gaynor show. Well, I won the contest, and the next day I was taken to MGM and to Selznick, and I sang for them, and I got a contract then.
Did you ever regret not pursuing operetta, for example,
because
you
have a beautiful voice? Well, I wanted to go to college. My mother said, why do you want to go to college? You already have a job. So I never went to college.
And you've been married to Dickie Moore for many years.
Yes.
Another person who started as a child actor.
He was 11 months old. He beat me.
But is that a shared experience? Is that something that was important in your relationship in the early days, that you'd gone through that experience?
No. Matter of fact, I didn't even know Dick in California. He came to interview me for his book, and he was on your show at one time. And he came to interview me, and I just never left. That was it.
Robert, you left for a little while. You're officially returning to TCM on December 1st.
Yes.
Why were you on hiatus?
Well, actually, for many reasons. But the basic reason was I'd been on TCM for 17 years when we went on the air in 1994, and I'd never had a vacation. I mean, there was no time off. And as Jane knows, because she went through this with me, I mean, I never stopped working. And
So you watch movies when you were off?
No, I didn't. I read. I slept. I got rested. I didn't go near an airport. What I needed was a really good rest, but I needed to kind of stop the merry-go-round. But I had I was getting ready to sign a new contract, a new 3-year contract with Turner, and one of the stipulations of the contract is that I'd have a good vacation. And I wanted 3 months for many reasons, the primary one being that I knew that the first month would just be kind of, you know, would be over before it even got started. I really wanted to have a concentrated time off where I could just enjoy friends, go to dinner, whatever. I also, you know, went to the dentist, I got some crowns on my teeth, I went to the doctors, I got, you know, CAT scans, did all that kind of stuff I didn't really have time to do before.
Go ahead.
So that's actually what I did. But they were wonderful to let me do it, and I've actually started back to work in October, but it's not on the air yet because I started back doing next year's version of our franchise called The Essentials that I've been doing with Alec Baldwin. Next year I'm doing it with Drew Barrymore, and the only time Drew Barrymore could do it was the first week in October because she had commitments the rest of the year.
Jane, you filled in for Robert in mid-July.
She did.
Yes, I did.
You think you'd want to do more hosting in the future?
Oh, yes, I always enjoy that. I really do.
So tell us a bit more in the brief time we have about this exhibit of posters. What are some of the posters that you think
are
particularly
wonderful? I know there's some Jane Powell posters. I haven't seen the exhibit yet, but Mike Kaplan did a display of posters. He's a great collector. He's a producer. I first met him when he produced Whales of August with Bette Davis and Lillian Gish and Ann Southern. And so he's a great movie collector of posters, and he's had this display at our film festival earlier this year in April in Los Angeles. And so he's doing it back here for people to see it.
And you'll be having another TCM Classic Film Festival,
the third one
coming up in April?
Yes.
What's the theme?
Style in films. So it's going to have – that doesn't mean every film is connected to that, but it's going to point out, you know, Art Deco sets and movies of the 30s and all of that. But I have to say the tickets went on sale last week, and in 4 hours we sold out our largest plateau of seats.
I'm not surprised. It's so beautifully handled, and it's really what I was there last February, February, uh-huh. March?
No, April, actually.
April, was it?
Now, I have been given the information about Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. The music was by Saul Chaplin. Gene DePaul.
Yes.
Johnny Mercer wrote the lyrics.
Right.
Robert Osborne will introduce a special screening of 2 weeks with Love Tonight at 6:30 at the Film Society. Details on our show page at WNYC.org. You'll be there too, Jane?
Oh, yes. We'll be talking.
She's the show tonight.
Well, anybody who's seen those films would want to meet you. Thank you so much for coming
by. You're so
by.
Sweet to have us. I'm just so happy I get to see what you look like. You're
I
very handsome.
I knew what you look like from the movies.